Hello and welcome to the United States of Soccer, the number one soccer podcast that covers everything from the Premier League, Major League Soccer, and USL. My name is Michael Willis at Carefree Willis, and I am joined, as always, by a man hailing from Johnson City, Tennessee. His name is Brian Mitchell at Brian Mitchell on Twitter. Brian, what's up, dude?
What's up, my man?
We are also joined by the most important person that breathes and eats on this planet.
Indeed.
He is at Producer Alex 23 on Twitter. Producer Alex, what's up, dude?
What's up?
We got a big week of work coming up, by the way. Mm-hmm. So get stoked.
Full-time podcasters.
I was talking about.
I think you're talking about other work, right?
I was talking about other work. Did you catch that or not?
Crap. Well, yeah, I got a lot of work. Man.
We got a lot.
Real work and podcast.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, that's right. We got a very special week for all you listeners out there. We have two pretty awesome guests. The first one. The Red Half of Sheffield, a Sheffield United podcast that drops every single week. A man named Noah Snyder and Chad Jarvis run the Red Half of Sheffield. And they will be joining us to talk all things Sheffield United. Brian, that's pretty sweet, huh?
I'm super stoked for it. I can tell you that.
This is not going to be the last time we have people on. We'll have, hopefully, multiple guests on covering all Premier League teams. Little preview of what's going on this season. Little recap, small recap from last year. Alex got a lot of work to do, right, Alex?
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Hope you enjoy this episode with Noah Snyder and Chad Jarvis from the Red Half of Sheffield. Hello and welcome to the United States of Soccer. We are joined by a very special guest, first of many, hopefully. And if hopefully as the season goes on, we do this again. Big fan of their show, catching up on what Sheffield United has been doing. Sheffield United, new team in the Premier League. We are joined by Noah Snyder and Chad Jarvis of the Red Half of Sheffield, a weekly podcast about Sheffield United, who are Premier League bound. Noah, Chad, what's up, man? How you guys doing? Thank you so much for coming on. Seriously, really appreciate this.
Yeah, doing pretty well. Thank you, first and foremost, so much for having us on your show. Yeah, it's great what you guys are doing. And yeah, definitely happy to be here and happy to talk a little Sheffield United with you guys. I know you're fans of the Big Six. You probably don't have a ton of recently promoted American fans on, but here we are. And yeah, I mean, Sheffield United are not a massive club like a Liverpool, a Chelsea, or a City, but yeah, we're just happy to be here and we're happy to be going up now, you know.
They got the best intro song, that's for sure. John Denver, man, absolutely fucking love that, dude. Absolutely love it. Let's jump right into it, boys. Last season, coming up from the championship, how was the championship last season? A lot of people talk about how great Burnley were, 101 or 100 points, I can't remember now, but how great they were. Sheffield United, 10 or 11 points back, I think you guys may have corrected me on that, but not very far back. Still a very good season in the championship. How was last year in the championship, and how excited are you to come back up to the Prem?
It was exciting. You know, Burnley were, I guess if you look at it as a whole, they were the class of the league from start to finish. We had a few weeks that we were top of the table, and I thought we were going to, you know, be closer to Burnley. I mean, when they came to Bramall Lane, we ended up beating them 5-3 in what was probably one of the games of the season. And we just had a bad run of form in about February, March-ish, where Burnley just, they went on an absolutely unbeaten run like the championship hasn't seen in a long, long time. And they were able to extend their lead to double digits. And that's where it kind of hung around, was right about 12, 10, you know, 14. And then we were able to get it down to, I think, what was it, 9 or 10, Noah, we finished behind, or 11. Because they were on the beach, they got promoted with, I think, 7 games left to go. And we made it over the line with about 4 games left. And so Burnley rested a few of their starters and, you know, dropped a few results, and we were able to peg them back. But in the end, it held taut at 10 points. And, I mean, it's everything we could ask for. We were supposed to be promoted the season after we got relegated. We were supposed to go back up, and that was unfortunate. We weren't we weren't able to get promoted because we lost out to the world's team in Nottingham Forest and the greatest team to ever play in the history of English football. And oh man, how great they are. And, but you know, a lot of the naysayers going into last season said we weren't going to do it. And they had, you know, the likes of Watford, Norwich, and even Burnley were the top teams they thought. And little old Sheffield United just went up and said, hold my beer. We're going to take second and we're going to go back up to the Prem. So it was a fun season. It's a roller coaster, man. It's not like you win 27 games in a row and only lose a few and win have 110 points. Yeah, it's much funner being a United fan.
Yeah, I was hilariously, I was one of those people that said, hey, Watford's going to go down there and smash that league, 100%. Watford's going to crush everybody. Absolute naysayer on my end, man, but hilarious. Noah, how was life in the championship? Went down for two seasons, correct? How was it down there? Yep. How was last season? Stoked to come back up, or are you nervous for this whole comeback into the Prem?
We're playing with, house money right now. You know, that's the way I see it. We have 38 free hits next season. I fully expect us to go back down. But Chad will say this as well. Chad will agree with me on this. The championship, in my humble opinion, is the best league in the world. I mean, and not for the necessarily for the quality of football, but just on any given week, anybody can beat anybody in that league. The games are always wildly entertaining. And, you know, the difference between first and 24th, it's not as big as, you know, 12th and first in the Premier League. So that's what makes the championship so special. Obviously, we're happy to be in the Premier League. It's the promised land. It's where we all want to be and survive. Like, it's going to be a much different season next year. Obviously, we're going to be fighting for survival every game, going out there and just, you know, trying to string together points. You know, they say you need about 35 points to stay up in the Premier League. And, you know, that's what we're going to be aiming for, those 35 points. It's going to be, I think, very different from both our first year in the Prem in 2019, 2020, I should say the first year, since 2007, 2008. It'll be very different from that season. I don't think we're going to be as successful, or we're definitely not going to finish ninth. And I also think it's going to be different from the 2021 season when we went down on, 23 points and didn't win until December or January.
Yeah.
Maybe it was. Yeah, I fully expect it to be a different sort of season. We were talking earlier with a lad named Jimmy. He does the Blades Ramble on YouTube. Great guy. And he was saying, and I agree with him wholeheartedly on this, that this is definitively a stronger team than we came up with in, 2019, 2020. We've got the likes of Standard Berge. We've got the likes of Anil Ahmed Hadzic, Illiman Ndiaye, who is, for my money, the best player in the championship last year. Pound for pound, he's one of the best players in the championship. And I think he'll do very well in the Prem. I think, you know, he's going to go on a free in the summer. We're not going to be able to re-sign him regardless of whether we stay up or not, but just got to enjoy him while we have him. He's going to see out the rest of his contract, but love that man, Illiman Ndiaye. He is a fantastic player.
The Billy Sharp gone. Is that hurt, or is that needs to move on? Is that one of those?
Billy Sharp is a Blades legend. He will forever. There will be a statue. There will probably be a stand named after Billy Sharp. He made us all believe again. You know, when we were down in the doldrums of League One, our worst finish in like 45 years. It was like 35 years. He made us believe again. Him and Chris Wilder really brought pride back to this club. And I've been supporting United since 2008, 2009. So after we got relegated from the Premier to the Championship. Billy Sharp's an absolute legend. He is at the end of his career. He's not banging him in like he used to. And he can't really go. I think he's probably League One quality right now. Has he signed with Doncaster, Chad? No.
No, he hasn't signed with.
He'll probably sign with Doncaster Rovers at this point.
One of my favorite Sheffield. When you guys came up most recently, and the pre-COVID and all that, you guys were fifth in the league at one point, and I was buzzing to see Sheffield United in the Champions League. Didn't work out next year with Chris Wilder and all that. We'll get into that in a moment here. But one of my absolute favorite moments was when you guys, I think it was either a draw or I think it was a win against Man United, and Billy Sharp just went running around. This is my first introduction to Billy Sharp at that time. And I was like, man, this guy's a fucking G. I loved watching him just run around and actually give it to all these Manchester United fans. But that was when I saw that was interesting. Jack O'Connell also left. I feel like it's there's a tax on left-footed center backs, and this was one of the guys that I liked when you guys were originally up there. Is that a big loss for you coming into this next year, or you guys feel confident at that center back role? And then I'm going to ask a second one on there. Chad, I'll let you start this one. Do you want those Man City loanies back, or are you good letting them go?
So on the Jack O'Connell thing, he suffered an injury in the back half of that first season, or was that the COVID season? Yeah. No,
he had an injury previously, and then literally in our first game that second season against Wolves, he went down at 7th or 8th minute, and he came back, and I think he played two more games, and then he re-injured it, and that was him done. Hasn't kicked the ball for us since. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, he's been on the sidelines. It's over. I mean, his career is over. I mean, he just kind of, he wouldn't even be on the sidelines. He'd be posting all of his pictures on the internet of him working out. Yeah. He's in incredible shape. It's just, I think the situation is with the COVID season getting shortened and coming back, and then we started that season again, he didn't have time to have the proper surgery and the proper rehabilitation, and then it ended up inevitably being the end of his career because he got hurt. And as Noah said, he hasn't kicked the ball since, which is a shame because he would have played
for England. I vehemently believe he would have played for England.
He was on that track to play for England, and he probably wouldn't be our player right now because he probably would have got a loan or got bought by probably a big six club to play in defense on one of those teams. It's just a shame because you see somebody with so much talent and so much potential to go on and be like an absolute world beater in someone's back line, and then his career's gone. No, I mean, it's such a shame. And as for your second question, McAtee is not coming back because Pep says he's going to start in Man City's side. We'd like to sign Tommy Doyle because it doesn't look like he's going to have a future at City because he has too many people just to jump over to get into that starting lineup. We only have a cap of quote-unquote 20 million pounds to buy. Tommy Doyle's rated about 10 to 12.
Right.
Where does that put us in our transfer budget? Are we going to splash so much on the side of him? Or are we going to go the other way and look to bring him in on loan? Only time will tell. I think we're going to go after Doyle on probably a loan as opposed to buying him. I'd much rather like to buy him because he has so much potential to where if we bought him...
Money.
You know, it go down next year, has another season in the championship. If we were to come back up, or if we don't come back up, we could sell him on for more money. Because this crazy game of football is all controlled by money, which is a shame. But, I mean, I'd like to see him back in the red and white stripes because McAtee, honestly, out of the two, I'd like to have McAtee. McAtee's an absolute world beater in the midfield. He's going to, if Pep gives him a shot in the midfield of City, he's going to be awesome. And I wish we had the funds to secure him, but he's way too expensive.
He's a 20 million pound player right now, as far as I can, in my estimation, and he could go higher than that,
I when I was looking up, I didn't know about Jack O'Connell not playing. That is very sad. When you guys were up originally, I thought this guy was awesome. I was a big, big, big fan of him. And I'm spot on, Noah. I think he was going straight into that England team. At that time, he was way better than Harry Maguire. That's a whole different story for another day, I guess. But I was a big Jack O'Connell guy. I did not know that he was going to be out like that. I really like McAtee. I'm bummed that he'll probably go back to City. He'll do that Calvin Phillips role and play like six games next year. And we won't hear from this kid, which is, it's just an absolute shame. Let's move on to the manager. When you guys came up originally, Chris Wilder, my kind of guy, 100% my kind of guy, when he was getting his original interview, I don't remember where this was, but he was interviewed about, I think when he was coming on to, you know, becoming the Sheffield United manager, he said, you don't need to teach me the songs. I already know all the songs. I'm a boyhood. I love this guy. I think I like guys that are just completely straightforward like that. Didn't work out second season. COVID really screwed you guys big time. And it was a shame to see.
Yeah.
He leaves. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
What I was just going to say is the 12th man was, I think, so important for us in, you know, in that first season back. I mean, you could see it based on the results. Yeah, I think we beat Tottenham and Chelsea. You know, during lockdown and everything, but yes, you know, by the same token, you know, the fans were really our 12th man out there, and they just not being there had disastrous results for us. I think, you know,
100%. Unfortunately, it ends up with Chris Wilder leaving, and Paul Heckingbottom coming in. You guys go down. He goes back to the, is it U23s, or he went back? He's still a part of the club, right? And then what, like 4 or 5 months later, he's back as the manager, and a year or so later, he's taking you guys back up. How was it at that time? We'll get to the present in a moment, but how was it at that time when Heckingbottom came back in? Was it like a, did the fans want this, or was that a bit of a question?
Well, you have to go a little further back. So over the summer 2021, we announced Jokanović like shortly after the season ends. Okay. We had that heartbreaking loss in the semifinal against Nottingham Forest on pens. We announced Jokanović and we're like, this is great. Like, he's a proper manager, brought up Fulham. And who else did he bring up before that? Watford. Yeah.
I think Watford. Yeah.
So Watford, we just thought he was the answer, you know, and not, we were kind of maybe blind to the fact that we didn't have the players to fit his system. His system is, you know, very attacking, a little bit more loosey-goosey at the back. He plays a back four, a solid back four, and we hadn't played a back four since 2014, 2015, maybe. Yeah. And so that was, like, not how we picked our players, not how we designed our team, and it just didn't work out. So, you know, Jokanović goes. Hecky comes in and most of the fan base is rolling their eyes like, you know, oh man, we are going to be in mate. Because at the time we were, I think, maybe like 15th in the league, 15th or 14th. And, you know, that was the year where we were saying, oh, we have to go back up. I mean, it turned out we didn't have to because, you know, we ended up being all right the next season. But we were like, how is this guy, Paul Heckingbottom, going to get us even into a playoff position? And I'll be goddamned, he did the job, man. He knows the system. He played like very similarly to how Wilder played. Yes, the center backs were not overlapping necessarily as much, but, you know, five at the back, three in the middle, potentially one a little bit pushing further, and then those two strikers up top. And that's been the key to our success, you know? I mean, a lot of clubs you're seeing now, especially in the championship, switch into that 3-5-2 because it really does work. And when you're solid defensively, it gives you the platform. Defense wins championships, right? Defense gets promotions. And that's what gave us the platform, really, to have the season that we had this year. And Chad and I both maintain that if it had been Paul Heckingbottom from match day one, 2021-2022 season, we would have been automatically promoted easily.
So he's become a big fan favorite here, even though that it went down with Sheffield. Again, not non-Sheffield United fans might not know all of this. So since going down, it's absolutely not at 100% his fault that you guys left the Premier League originally. But since then, seems like become a big fan favorite. You absolutely love this guy.
Well, he was a caretaker manager really after Wilder left. I mean, it was really some... there were some poor decisions that Chris Wilder made in that second season in the Premier League. You know, Rian Brewster is one of them. And, you know, I know you're a Liverpool. One of you is a Liverpool fan. So, you know all about that kid. And he just has not come good yet. And he was injured for most of last season. You know, I think the fans really like him, you know, because he was taking the mick out of the pigs.
I saw that. It's so funny.
You know, I mean, he's a fan favorite, but at the same time, I mean, next season is going to be key for him. He might even need a loan move, you know? We were talking about that on our podcast. He might need a loan to the championship. Anyway, Chad, I'm sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, you, I mean, he's spot on. I mean, Hecky would have probably, you know, a lot of people that saw us go down in that Prem season would think, oh, well, Heckingbottom took him down. There's no way in hell they would give him the manager. But if they would have kept him in place as our first team manager, the one thing Heckingbottom did is he looked at our squad and said, okay, you guys are set up to play, as Noah alluded to, a 3-5-2. We're not just going to make you guys play this, change the system and play a back four. Like, no, we're going to put what works in this side, and we're going to add to it where we think it needs to be added to. Other than that, he just said, hey, guys, go out there and win games. And that's what they did for the majority of Heckingbottom's term in the championship. We've won games. The whole Nottingham Forest semifinal league or leg two years ago, it is what it is. We were never going to win that. Nottingham Forest was the team they wanted. Luton Town this year. Everybody, oh, my God, Luton Town, Luton Town, Luton Town, Luton Town. Same with Nottingham Forest, Nottingham Forest, Nottingham Forest last year. Everybody in America is going to be like, oh, my God, Nottingham Forest. Oh, my God, Luton Town. Have you seen how small their ground is? Yeah, we know. It only holds 10,000 people. Yeah. Oh, we know they had, you know, they've come from non-league. Yeah, we all know that. And so we're just not the flavor of the month. So that's where I think Blade's set up is perfect for this season, where all the spotlight's going to be on Luton until they start the first 25 games and they don't win one. And everybody's like, okay, they're going to go down. And United can, you know, we'll just flirt and casually date 17th spot throughout the season. And maybe we'll find a relationship.
I'm guessing you've got that Nottingham Forest game circled, you know, when this year comes. I'd love that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't like them.
I can imagine so. Yeah. I mean, so yeah. And one question, maybe I don't know if it's technically slightly out of order or not, that I'll ask you guys though. For like a lot of our listeners as well, you know. And Michael kind of said we were sending this to Chad before he jumped on, Noah. But you know, even on our podcast, we've talked about how, you know, like, it's all right to pick teams if people are getting into soccer, like, pick teams that are not part of the, you know, quote unquote big six. Like, it's totally cool kind of thing. But, you know, I'm curious, like, so first question for me will be, I mean, what made you guys choose? What made you guys choose Sheffield United?
So I tell this story a lot, but I was working at a summer camp in 2008. And the gentleman that I was like paired with, my co-counselor, lad from Sheffield, massive Blade. And you know, like, I think it was like the second day, you know, he asked me if I like football, and, I say, you know, look, we had Galaxy season tickets growing up, you know, I watch every World Cup, you know, but that's really like, as far as club football was concerned, I wasn't super enamored with it. Cause all I had experienced really was the Galaxy. And then what happened was he showed me the Greasy Chip Buddy song being sung on YouTube, a very rudimentary version of
electric
YouTube.
Love it.
Yeah. And that's what made me a fan. And awesome. You know, it really hasn't been easy supporting United from afar all these years. I mean, like, look, I've had the ESPN app on every phone that I've had, and I was able to follow along when we were in League One there, but you know, as far as watching games was concerned, I was like looking on Periscope, if you remember Periscope, like and people would put up a Periscope in League One. You know, so I'd watch games like that. And then once we got back into the championship, it became, you know, a little bit easier with ESPN and everything. There were a few games that were broadcast, but now, you know, we can watch every game now, like when we're in the championship, and now every game in the Prem will be broadcast here, and it'll only cost us $6 a month. So, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
No,
thank God. Thank God it's better than spending
over
year?
That.
$200
for the streaming
system through SUTV was $200, and you get to watch every
except
league
not
game.
Every league, unless if it was on Sky Sports, we didn't get it there. But it was on it was on ESPN Plus, so we got it anyway. You know, like I already paid for that. So
$7 and you get everything. Yeah, I'll take that all day long. Dude, love it.
Exactly. No, that's good.
Yeah, now it's much easier because we have Peacock this year.
Yeah.
So we don't have to pay $200 to watch them. He'd be like, okay, we get 38 games where we don't have to fork out a fortune to watch them play. But it certainly makes it a lot funner. Even though it's a lot harder on your wallet to watch.
Yeah, sure. No, that's a good story. No, I mean, Chad, we spoke briefly before No jumped in, but you as well. I'm also just curious because I love the backstories of this kind of thing. But what made you kind of falling, you know, kind of in love with Sheffield United?
Well, as I alluded to you guys earlier, and I started as football as early as 2005, 2006, 2007, somewhere in there, and that's when the Prem over here in the States was just Fox Soccer Plus. So they used to jam the Prem down your throat, and it's like, well, who do they show every week? Because you only had one or two channels, and my parents didn't have the cable channel to watch the rest of the league, so I had to watch whatever game was on. So it was Chelsea. So I grew up with Chelsea for probably
that's unfortunate
10 or so years. looking back at it, I wish it reverse. And so followed them for 10 or so years, and then I just the Americanization and the monopolization of the American market when Chelsea got Pulisic and all that stuff, and I was just like, when your kits go from $90 to $135, I'm not gonna shell out money like that. So you guys can have it. And when I was there every Saturday and Sunday, whenever they played at a bar, usually, I mean, I would have to, I could point out who the fair weather fans were because they'd come out for the big games. And then when Chelsea or someone would play Crystal Palace, it'd be me and a couple other guys. And I kind of took a step back and was like, it's going to be fun to follow another team. And so I started picking up United and got on them when they were rock bottom of League One, and then kind of rolled into the Championship and rolled into the Prem, and then, you know, riding this ebbs and flows of a United season. And just, it's so much fun. And when I tell people, because when I go to a bar, because there's still a bunch of people at the old bar they used to go to, I don't go there as much because we do YouTube streams every week of the Chef United games. And when I see them, they say, Sheffield United? What the hell? And I said, you don't even have any idea because you root for Liverpool or Man City or Chelsea or Tottenham or Arsenal. I said, this is the question that I pose to every American sports fan of a Big Six. I said, if you got relegated right now to this day,
right,
would you follow their team? Would you follow your team in the second division? They all say, oh, yeah, of course, of course. I said, I'm calling BS on that because I said the day after your team got relegated, you take that shirt off and you'd be like, Chelsea's gone. Man City, I'll put this one on. Let's go, Man City. We're going to. And they don't really say anything to that because I know it's true. You don't really know. American soccer fans and football fans, they don't really know unless you go on a journey with this team. In a journey for a top six team might be like, okay, Chelsea finished 12th this year, 11th.
Years.
Their worst finish in years. And now, okay, now they're down. And now what? Finishing second 3 years from now is going to be like, oh my God, we were in such a bad, you remember those bad years? No, you don't know a United to suck ass for an entire season and get relegated in one of the worst seasons ever in Prem history. And then go to the Championship and spend two seasons down there and have an absolute blast and then get promoted. It's just, I tell people that are looking for a football team, when the Prem games come on, don't watch any of the top six teams. 100%. Pick a team in the middle of the road, just watch them for 10 games or so. They'll rip your heart out. They'll make you jump through the roof. They'll make you just, why do I root for this team? They'll make you question question your sanity. And it's like, just go through the ebbs and flows and don't be a team that wins 35 of 38 games and only loses three teams and they set or only loses three games and sack the manager and fires half the squad for losing three games. It's not fun. Following a team on the ebbs and flows in between the divisions, I'm telling you, that's
I can't,
where it's at,
I can't,
man.
As a Chelsea fan, Brian, as a Liverpool fan, will absolutely second that. The as I've gotten older and watched more of the Premier League, there's absolute days. I mean, I've been absolutely gutted all year long, and I as a Chelsea fan, and I literally look over and I'm like, "Mech, I couldn't imagine what." I'm basing this off of Premier League stuff. I said, I couldn't imagine what Everton fans are going through. Right. I could not imagine what Newcastle fans and West Ham fans went through years ago when they were relegated, sent down, and coming back up. I loved as a – I don't support, but I love watching Norwich City when they do come up because I think those fans are absolutely hilarious because I don't think a single one of them believes they're staying up. They always go right back down, but they're always out there, and they're very loud on TV. So I 100% – I can't get back – get behind that enough that – if you're a new fan coming in, it's why that we have a Sheffield United. It's why we reached out to them. It's why because I did not want this to be this top six loving. It's ridiculous. I don't remember who it was. I think it was James Corden, who's a West Ham fan. I'm not a big – I don't really care about the guy, but he said something hilarious that he said, don't go support Chelsea. Don't support City. You win every single week. It's boring. You could be on the cusp of Europa League glory or a brink of relegation, go support West Ham. I thought that was hilarious because he's spot on, man, taking that Premier League in to do it.
And the one thing I will say, too, is NBC's coverage since they started showing the Premier League has shifted. When they first got the coverage of the Prem, they talked about all 20 teams, and they did an in-depth – you remember, I don't know, they used to do the shows – at the beginning of the season, they would preview the season. They would do the behind the scenes of the teams that got promoted. Because they did one about United the first time we got in the league. They don't do that anymore. All they do is just jam down your throat, the top six. Whether you like it or not, we're going to show them. We're going to talk about them. And that's all we could give two shits about Wolves. We could give two shits about Crystal Palace, Brighton, any of those sides. The fact that Brighton went up there and almost messed up the whole party, I loved it because NBC didn't know how to take it. And they're like, oh, my God, how do we do this? And it's like if NBC would have just kept what they did and talked about all 20 teams, when they do these Premier League on locations where they go to these different cities in the States and do this, they would have a more diverse group instead of having
100%
500 people show up in Liverpool shirts, 500 people show up in Chelsea shirts. And then you have like 10 people that show up in West Ham. You have 15 people that show up in Crystal Palace. Yeah. It's like, it's not even fair. You're diluting the sport to where all your fans, and granted, it's the same way over in the UK.
Yeah.
They just bash against the top six teams. And like, if you don't like these two top six teams, we're not going to talk about your team regardless. So screw you. But I think that's where NBC's shortfall has been. To where it doesn't expose the lower half of the Prem. And the only reason they talked about the lower half of the Prem this year is because Chelsea was in there. If they weren't there, they would have been like, oh, we have nothing to play for. We have nothing to show you. We'll just show you Arsenal and City, how these two are going to make love with each other and whoever's going to win the league.
No, you man, you're spot on. When it was Barclays, I mean, they did these pre – season stuff on everybody. That's gonna be mainstream media. That's why everybody listening, get out of the mainstream media. Go follow the red half of Sheffield.
Absolutely.
Go listen to Sheffield United every single damn week. Brian, you got another one?
And I was just, I mean, you guys kind of alluded to it, but I was just gonna ask. I think obviously the championship is super. We watch championship games too, we want to level out the playing field as much as we can and not be biased as much, but. I mean, you guys are coming back to the Premier League. So, I mean, are you guys excited to be back in the Premier League?
We're excited because we're not going to fold next season. That's really what this has been about. Getting back to the Prem is about getting that money at this point. At this point, nobody's come in. There's been a lot of rumors about somebody coming in and buying the Blades. It's not happened yet. Transfer market's open. So transfer window's open. Hasn't happened yet. If we're going to get somebody through the door, it needs to happen soon if we have any hopes of increasing our transfer budget. But Chad and I fully expect that we will be going down this season. If we stay up, that's great. Snatch your arm off for 17th place right now. But what it's about is building for the next 5 years. And we're probably going to lose players at the end of the season. We're going to lose Illiman and Dye. We're going to lose Sander Bedge. And then there's about 10 other players that, you know, have the potential to be first team that are going to be out of contract. And so we're going to need to figure out how we're going to nail them down if slash when we do go down next season. So if we do miraculously stay up this season, it'll be great. And we'll be able to, you know, do some clever accounting and probably bring in some more, you know, solid Prem players. But we're looking right now in the European markets at players you've never heard of before, but have that potential to be great in the next 2 to 3 years.
Absolutely.
You know, Noah, you brought up this, you'll have a lot of players out of contract at next season's end. I saw you guys put that up on your Twitter, which that was fascinating to read that you guys could have that many guys out. Is that what this is? This is a got to stay in at all costs to get the money so that you don't really like your ownership, do you?
The prince, as we call him, because he is a Saudi prince.
Yeah.
The prince is simultaneously the best owner we've had in the last like 15 years and also a terrible owner. Which is saying something really, because, you know, he's not a great owner, but he's better than what we've had previously.
Yeah.
McCabe, who was the previous owner, never splashed any cash. The players that we were buying were just not quality. Our scouting network has gotten a lot better. Our youth development has gotten a lot better, and we owe it really to the prince. He kind of revolutionized our training facility. I don't think we're going to be tier one anytime soon, but at the same time, it's better than it's been. And you're seeing a lot of really good, promising players coming out of our academy. You know, Daniel Jebison, there's a lot of teams out there who are in for Daniel Jebison. And if we don't sell him this year, I think he'll probably have a very good season, either out on loan or coming off the bench in the Prem. Will Asula, another player. Illiman Njai was an academy player as well. You know, he was playing at Boreham Wood before we brought him into the club. And he's going to be, you know, he'll be a 40 million pound player in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, potentially.
Shout out Boreham Wood on this pod. I never thought I'd get that in.
I know, right? What a good shout
Chad,
out.
Chad, the last time up, Sheffield United spent quite a bit of money their first season in the league. You guys, as Noah just said, you don't think that's going to happen this year. You think this is just going to be stay up at all costs, but not a whole lot of money spent. Couple guys, couple bargain buys as most people would call them. But do you think that's all you're going to do? You don't see a big splash of the cash this year?
Yeah, all we were the cheapest, brokest prince in all of Saudi Arabia. I don't know how we managed to get the brokest one out of all of them. You know, we've got Saudi Arabian people taking over the LIV Golf Tour and buying into, you know, buying Newcastle. And we get the one that ain't got a pot to piss in our window to throw it out of.
That's awesome.
But yeah, he allotted us quote unquote. Uh-huh. 20 million. So have whatever you want with that. We're going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel to get our players over the line. I think what we're going to end up doing, we re-signed a few players for 1 year deal, as we alluded to. 90% or 99% of our team are going to be out of contract next year. I think we only have one player, Noah, am I right, Anel, that is contracted through next year. So everybody else is going to be out of our team. So hopefully at some point we can do this takeover. There's an American consortium. There's five.
Yep.
You name the rumor list. It's there. But yeah, long question short. Yeah, we don't have money. We're not going to have money. We're going to buy probably about five or six players for a total of 20 million and go down with about 18 points, two wins.
Those two
losses.
Wins against Nottingham Forest, so it'd all be worth it. No, no.
Probably
so
there you go.
Yeah. Well, I'll change that. It'll be four wins and 34 losses. Two
love
against
that.
Forest
absolutely
and two
love
against.
That. So no, it seems like from you guys that it's such a massive feat this year. But if you complete that, you've only walked over the hill, and there's still a mountain ahead of you for what's to come with the way this squad is managed and the way this owner has everything set up. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think you got it spot on right there. I think the reason that we're spending 20 million quid only this season is because we want to be sustainable. And we know that there's a very realistic possibility that we'll be in the championship next season. I think, you know, the ownership couldn't have possibly accounted for COVID, which is really what killed us and sent us back down to the championship that first time round. Now, and we're going to be cautious the first year, if we can manage to scrape together survival season, then, you know, you kind of see, look at your options over the next summer. Obviously, we will have a lot of players to re-sign. They'll want Premier League wages. We'll just have to do an assessment at that time. I think right now we're prepping for relegation and then hopefully a good season in the championship in the 24-25 season. But you have to be a realist and a pragmatist when you don't have buku bucks to spend, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, I mean, then we'll start, start with Chad on this one, and then we'll go to you, Noah. But same question for you both. But what would you consider a successful season this coming season then for Sheffield United?
Finishing 19th.
Good start.
By the way, here, you should. It should be noted, Chad is the optimist. You know, he's always super optimistic.
I was about to say, he's my twin.
I know. We have a glass half empty guy too. Don't worry
about it, dude.
It's so much funner saying we're gonna suck a bag of ass for 38 games.
That's right.
And there ain't nothing we can do about it.
That's right.
There ain't nothing we can do about it. I mean, it's any way you cut it. I mean, if we were to catch lightning in a bottle, 16th would be the best we do. But I just don't like finishing dead last, and that's where we finished the last time we were in this league. So any place above 20th for me is considered.
No, what do you think? What's a good? What would be a good season for Sheffield United if it's not staying up? Where are you guys looking at?
If it's not staying up, I mean, obviously staying up is the goal, but finishing 18th and the most optimistic without, you know, staying up is finishing 18th and then losing out on staying up just due to accumulation of yellow cards. I mean, really, like tied on points with 17th, and then, you know, there's like two or three tiebreakers, and then it's like goal differential, and then I think I can't remember home goals score. Is it home goal home goals conceded? Whatever it is, and then it's like accumulation of yellow cards after that. And so if that's how we go down, it would be devastating. But that's like the most optimistic you can get while being relegated. You know, ideally we stay up by the skin of our teeth. I think if we bring in a couple of players, shore up our back line, get in a left center back, get in one or two good midfielders, get one striker through the door who can start and bang in, you know, 5-10 goals. I think that we might have enough, you know. I think towards the bottom half of the league, just like last year, it's not going to be a very good league, you know. I mean, I think like between 20th and like 14th, you know, I think towards the end of the season, I think there's going to be 4 or 5 points that separate those sides. So it's just a matter of being on the upside and not the downside there.
Sure.
We will somehow manage to be the first team relegated by the second match.
Listen, if we roll around to April of next year and Sheffield United have locked in 15th, we will have Chad back on this show, and we better see some, you know, absolute going crazy about it.
Oh. More power to you. Yeah, I'll be on. I'll be singing our praises. But like, I didn't think it. But the whole thing is the very first season we got promoted in 2019, 2020. The funny thing is everybody, every preseason pundit, Sheffield United, 20th.
Yep.
Relegated bang on 20th. And that's why I say don't listen to the talking heads, because they're going to say United aren't going to score a goal. They're going to concede 500. They won't even win. They'll be the first team to go 0-38. And they'll be down by first week of September.
Right.
Then we went and finished ninth that season. They're like, oh, well,
doesn't
what the
fit
hell
the narrative.
Is this?
Yeah,
doesn't,
yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. And then obviously next season.
Every year there's
best,
a Premier League darling, and we were lucky enough to be the darlings in our first season back in the Prem in 2019-2020. I suspect Luton Town will be the darlings this season.
Mm. For sure.
Although it's an incredible record. I think the teams that got promoted in the last three seasons, none of those teams have gone down, I think is the stat.
No, because Norwich went down.
Out of the three teams that have got promoted in the last 3 years, well, I don't think that was – I think stay up for one season while they were in there?
No.
Oh, I thought it was a stat where there was three – I know last year nobody or everybody.
I think
it's
the last 2 years they've all stayed up, and I think recently I think other than Norwich. Norwich went down immediately, and then Fulham. But you've had a lot of new teams going down. Early predictions for me, I think Bournemouth and Luton are destined to head back down.
I do too.
I don't know yet who's taking that 18th spot, but I would I'll say this now. I hope you guys are locking in 15th, 14th, and then we can have you guys back on and have some kind of
electricity.
That's
right.
Yeah,
Everton go down.
Hey, they've been flirting with it for a couple of years.
I know. Could be their year.
If Mitrovic gets hurt for Fulham, I think Fulham are in trouble. I think there's a couple teams that are going to be that 20 to 16 range is going to be a battle next year, I think. But Noah, you just alluded to the fact that you need center back, left back, midfielder, striker. It's a lot for 20 mil. It's a lot for 20 mil, man. You guys have already said how somewhat confident, unconfident you are about this whole thing, but 20 mil, you think you can get all that for 20 mil? And where is like the absolute, if you can only go two spots, where's the absolute priority that must be spent?
So we're going to be looking at free transfers. Obviously there's a lot of talent out there that we could potentially get on a free. Players who, you know, either were riding pine last season at top six clubs who they've let their contracts expire and they're going to go out. And we'll pay where we need to pay, but that it's really going to be, we're really going to be looking at those free transfers. If you had to put a gun to my head on two positions, I'd say definitively we need a left center back, like a solid left center back. Jack Robinson, who Jackie Longthrow, as we call him, he is a fine championship left center back. He is not going to be able to do it in the Prem. And some blades are saying, well, Reece Norrington Davies can slot right into that position. I don't think he's going to be the same player when he comes back. I like Reece Norrington Davies a lot. I think had he not gotten injured last season, it would have been a banner year for him. And I think we probably would have won a lot more games than we ended up winning. If he were around. With that being said, we definitely need someone on the left playing at the back, whether that's a wing back or whether that's a left center back, just somebody on the left in defense. And then we need a midfielder. For my money, I think we have to bring back Tommy Doyle on a permanent this time, not on a loan. I think it probably will end up being a loan, but I want him on a permanent because if we go down, that's an asset that we can sell next season, you know? Oh, yeah.
Chad, if for non-Sheffield United fans going into next season, what's one or two players you guys got that everybody should be watching out for that should be playing well next year?
As Noah alluded to, Illiman and Dai, as us United fans call him, Skilliman and Dai, he's going to be playing for one of your guys' teams over there if the scouting holds right, because, I mean, the dude is an absolute world beater. As Noah alluded to, he was... The pundits stacked the championship awards against him and didn't give him his fair share of what he needed. He should have won the player of the season in the championship. But the dude was like we were out in our first year back in the championship, and the prince said, we'll give you some more money if you sign Illiman and I to a first team contract. In the first game we signed him, I think he scored a goal, and it's been upward trajectory from there on. And it's just like every game he has an impact for us, and you'll see it in our games coming up this season. If we can hold on to him, I mean, rumors are AC Milan, everybody underneath the sun wants him. But I think he'll stay with us for this season. If we go down, he'll go up, and Man City will buy him, or Liverpool or Chelsea. Somebody will buy him. They'll buy him for hopefully 40, 50 million. and we'll cash in on him. Him, and I would say, Noah, would you agree with me, Sandy?
Yeah, I'd say Sanderberger. The other player I'd watch out for is Anil Ahmed Hodzic. He's fantastic defensively, and he's got a goal in him on his day as well.
Love it. I cannot wait to watch Sheffield. I love that song. I love getting up early for that Sheffield United intro, man. That gets me going every single time I watch that. Last question, and then we'll let you guys get out of here. We got the USA game coming up. What in the hell is a greasy chip, buddy? I looked this thing up. This, I got to be honest, no disrespect, this sounds like the foulest thing I could ever see. It's not, go ahead, what is this thing? And then I'll give my
opinion on it. It's a French fry sandwich, man. It's so... You get two pieces of bread. You can toast them or not toast them. You stick a handful of greasy French fries on there. You know, sauce it up with whatever sauce you want. I'm a ketchup guy myself, and you just scarf. I was lucky enough to have one of these when I was in Sheffield, and not bad. Really, really not bad. You know, considering there's no meat or anything on there, like, you know, it's a nice vegetarian option if you're a vegetarian. And it's just, it is a staple in Yorkshire. So, yeah.
Yeah. It is seriously. It's like one of those things, don't knock it before you try it. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's not bad.
The other thing that they do is either they put butter or mayonnaise like on the toast as well. Okay. The other thing that, if you're going to have a proper Yorkshire meal at any point, you have to try Henderson's Relish. It's like, the best way I can describe it is it's like Worcestershire sauce, but better. No anchovy, fishy taste.
What is it called?
Henderson's Relish.
Henderson's Relish. Absolutely love that. Yeah. Chip Buddy, when I looked it up, it's just a potato sandwich. And I was like, what is going on here? We got wedge fries, which are maybe my second to least favorite fry behind crinkle fries. But it's an interesting combo there. I will have it. When I have it, I'll put it up on the show's Twitter and tag at Red Sheffield, which is Noah and Chad's Red Half of Sheffield Twitter show over there. Go follow these guys. This has been absolutely awesome, man. I appreciate you guys coming on. Brian, you got anything to say before we let these guys go?
I really appreciate you guys coming on. I'm super pumped to watch some Sheffield United this season as well. So we'll definitely be staying in touch.
Last thing for me before I let you go. What is the difference between the Blades and the Owls? I know that might be long, but I tried to look this up before you guys came on. Why, if you're from Sheffield, why would you go red or blue? I literally could not find a reason why. Is it just preference?
One shit and one is not.
I was going to say something similar.
Love it.
You got to go for the red half of Sheffield. Oh, I should say the red two-thirds of Sheffield. We really should have changed our podcast name. But the pigs, they're just a cavalcade of sadness. They had their glory years. Those years are far past them now. Yes, they got promoted this year, but I expect them to go straight back down. And Dean Smith isn't going to save them from that. So it's a one team city right now, and that team is Sheffield United Football Club.
Chad, Noah, I appreciate you guys coming on. You can find them at the Red Half of Sheffield. They drop every week, right?
Yes.
Every single week, go check them out during this Premier League season. And if they go down, be sure to jump on. Chad will be awesome on those episodes if everything goes wrong. If it goes right, I'll be tuning in, absolutely. Go find my man Noah at Nessman930 and Chad at CJarvis_13. Guys, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it.